You're listening to the FQXI podcast. It's the beauty of cosmology these days. We can actually get data to test some of these wild ideas.
It is a nightmare for us theoreticians. I preferred it when we could just make up stuff, anything, and nobody could tell us we were wrong. Take dark energy, for instance, that mysterious entity that appears to be causing the universe to expand at an ever-increasing rate. Nobody knows what it is, where it came from, or why it's doing what it does. And I like it that way. Every good theoretical cosmologist has at least six theories for what dark energy might be. But now that could all be coming to an end.
Oh no!
Oh yes. In August, the Dark Energy Survey launched its five-year mission to map the southern sky in an effort to reveal what's causing the growth of the cosmos to speed up. Reporter Karin Pikama caught up with two of the survey team members, Ofer Lahav and Peter Dole, at University College London, who explained to her just how they plan to do this.
The universe is expanding, as astronomers have long known. But until relatively recently, physicists assumed that this expansion would gradually slow down, as gravity from all the matter in the cosmos pulled it back inwards. In fact, by analyzing the equations of gravity that arise from Einstein's theory of general relativity, they even believed that it might slow down so much that eventually the universe could collapse in on itself. But in the late 1990s, astronomers discovered something highly unexpected. Instead of decelerating, the expansion is actually speeding up. For centuries, astronomers have focused on the light emitted by the objects in the universe. Objects, including ourselves, are made up of atomic matter, and we understand very precisely the properties of this visible matter. But unfortunately, the presence of such normal matter alone cannot explain the accelerating expansion of the universe. Filling this void is a lot of stuff that is actually invisible, dark matter and dark energy, which together form about 95% of the universe. While the gravity from dark matter tries to hold everything together, dark energy actually tries to push it all apart. Initially, dark matter was winning this battle, but the balance tipped about 9 billion years after the Big Bang, still some 5 billion years ago from now. The universe had expanded enough for dark energy to be able to start pulling dark matter apart, causing the expansion to accelerate. Despite the fact that dark energy alone makes up 75% of all energy in the universe, it remains an enigma. Since its initial discovery, astronomers from all over the world have been studying the phenomenon. One such project, which has been 10 years in the making and which started scanning the sky in August, is the Dark Energy Survey. At University College London, I spoke with two scientists involved in the project, which spans three continents, Professor of Astronomy Ofer Lahav and Director of Instrumentation Peter Dole. Lahav explained to me how the initial discovery came about.
In the late 1990s, two separate teams looked at the distribution and light from objects called supernovae. These are objects that suddenly go very, very bright, and at a certain point there's an explosion. And you can look at, say, the galaxy, and suddenly you see a luminous source there which outshines the galaxy. And it happens about once per 100 years per galaxy, more or less. It's a very rare event. But nevertheless, those two teams managed to collect a reasonable sample of those supernovae. Then they used them as standard candles. All the supernovae have exactly the same intrinsic luminosity. So then you can basically tell the distance to each of them just by comparing the intrinsic light to the light we actually observe on Earth. So by plotting the luminosity of the galaxies against their distance, they could tell that the universe is accelerating. So what happened is the two independent teams could not explain the data by having just matter. They needed another component. It turns out that so-called cosmological constant, which is, if you like, the more traditional name to what we call now more generally dark energy, seems to feed the data pretty well.
Do we know what this dark energy is made of?
Right, so there are two options here. It could be that it's actually a new ingredient, for example, in the form of vacuum energy. in quantum mechanics, even the vacuum has energy. You know, in that language, everywhere in the universe, there is an extra component, vacuum energy. Even my cup of tea has some dark energy in it. Another possibility is perhaps we should accept that there is another tweak to the standard model, in the sense that the curvature of the universe is not fully described just by Einstein's simple equation. Although it has to be said, the cosmological constant was already in Einstein's equations. He introduced it in order to actually get a static universe.
And which of those do you think is most likely?
Well, that's a matter of intuition. I tend to think that if indeed, of all the possible scenarios of dark energy, if indeed at the end it's going to be just this cosmological constant, probably it's most natural to associate it with vacuum energy. But why is it at that level? That's still a mystery. We should come with some underlying hypothesis.
In an attempt to capture the nature of dark energy, a large group of scientists spread out across the US, the UK, Spain, Brazil, Germany and Switzerland have spent the past 10 years setting up the Dark Energy Survey, or DES for short. DES's telescope has just started scouring the night sky from a mountaintop in Chile, taking highly detailed pictures of the universe, and will be collecting vast amounts of data in the coming 5 years. First, I asked Lahav what the aims are of the Dark Energy Survey.
The idea is to create a map of 300 million galaxies, and these galaxies are used in a number of ways. First, the distribution in space allows us to measure geometry, because the galaxy pattern is regular, actually, and it's got a particular feature which we refer to as a standard ruler. That's method number one. It's not a method of looking at the clusters in distribution, how many are there. And it turns out that's also sensitive to the geometry of the universe and to the evolution of the growth of structure. A third method, which is probably the most challenging from the point of view of instrumentation, is to look at the galaxy images. And they actually get, although intrinsically they're not perfect circles, they get even distorted further due to intervening matter between us and them. That's called gravitational lensing. The effect of distortion is about 1%, and we have to measure it to about 1% in order to tell dark energy properties at 1%. That's very challenging, but those three methods combined could be very powerful to tell us about geometry and growth of structure. In addition, the survey will also produce light curves of 4,000 supernovae, and then we can check what is causing the acceleration of the universe.
Could you tell me a little bit more, Peter, about what these instruments are and how they have improved?
Well, the instrument that we've built for the Dark Energy Survey is essentially a large camera called DCAM. It's large. The lenses involved are about a meter in size, and there's about five of those sort of size lenses in the system. And essentially it is an imaging camera. So it takes pictures. But it takes pictures over a very wide field of view. And it needs this wide field of view because you want to do an all sky or a large part of the sky survey and also look very deep. It takes pictures in using five different filters. So you put in colour filters and take a picture in each filter. So you get a very large picture, and you can't do that with a single detector. So in fact it's got 62 detectors, sort of in a sort of mosaic of detectors. To build up a big image in one shot.
So you are using still images to look at acceleration. How do you get from those still images to knowing how fast the universe is expanding?
Well, you can use the still images by essentially working out how far each object is away from us. You can do that by looking at the different colour of the galaxy, or different intensity of the colour galaxy in each filter, and essentially that will give you a redshift, and a redshift tells you essentially how fast the system is moving away. So it's by looking at those still images in different colours that you can actually work out its distance and essentially its speed away from us.
And how do you analyse these data then? Is it just looking at the colours and in their intensity?
Well, there's a lot of actually data processing in the image. Once you've got it, it has to be cleaned up because there's a lot of imperfections due to things like cosmic rays, satellite trails. But essentially, once you've got that calibrated image, there's a couple of methods. One is looking at the amount of light from each object in each colour, but also looking actually at the shape of each object. So each object, and there's many thousands of galaxies in each image, looking at each one and actually measuring its distorted shape and calculating over the whole field what the general distortion is. And from that, you can work out things like dark matter distribution and then on to dark energy.
Besides the Dark Energy Survey creating a beautiful 3D map of galaxies using these techniques that Dole has just been talking about, the scientists on the project are hoping to be able to explain the nature and source of dark energy much more precisely. Here's Lahav again.
If we accept the result from supernovae, the universe is accelerating, but what's causing this acceleration? So to do that, the two effects are geometry. Right, the way light travels in the universe depends on the geometry of the universe. At the same time, cosmic structure grows with time. Although the universe is expanding, locally, gravity wins and bits and pieces get attracted to each other. The level by which the structure evolves in the universe does depend on the contents of the universe. So, for example, in a universe without dark energy, the growth of structure would be of one kind. In a universe with dark energy, it would be different. And actually, by using those techniques and contrasting them with possible models, we should be able to tell which models are out or which ones are still viable. And we hope that in this way we'll come up with a clear statement as to what is the source of acceleration of the universe.
Will we notice the effects of dark energy in the size and shape of our own galaxy? Or, you know, is gravity still the dominant force that holds everything together?
The way we use dark energy in cosmology is within the framework of general relativity. But we can look at it at a more simple-minded Newtonian analogy that basically we all agree to Newton's inverse square law, that the force between two bodies, force like 1 over the distance squared between them. However, if dark energy exists in the form of a cosmological constant, there's, if you like, another force which is linear. It's the force is larger, the distance is larger. And this force is opposing the gravitational attraction. So you can think about dark energy as a repulsive force. So there's a competition between the attraction and the repulsion. So it could be, it's a simple exercise to show that, say, on the scale of the solar system or even a galaxy, the effect is tiny because the amount of dark energy is so small. However, as you go to larger scales, it becomes more significant. In fact, recently, we asked the question, if we look at the system of Andromeda and the Milky Way, is that system affected by dark energy? And the answer is yes. It's actually quite a significant impact. For example, if you estimate the total mass of the local group, so-called local group, it's Andromeda, Milky Way, together, it turns out to be 13% higher if you assume there's also dark energy in the universe. So to me, this is a kind of an evidence that we can notice that even on small scales.
The Dark Energy Survey has only just started taking its highly detailed images of the universe, and several groups around the world are also trying similar approaches. The reason for all these efforts is that it is only by knowing what dark energy actually is and the true extent of its forces that we can start to uncover what future awaits our universe. And if the dark energy exists in the way scientists currently believe it does, this future does not currently sound exactly like the place we might hope to end up in.
If the current observations are correct, the universe will expand forever. Eventually, galaxies will disappear from sight. Well, they will fade away, but also they will disappear from sight because they will leave so-called our horizon. And without giving a very gloomy forecast for the future, Andromeda, our sister galaxy, and our own galaxy, Milky Way, will merge at some point. They're falling towards each other. They'll merge into one big galaxy. And this new galaxy will just be there in a rather dark universe. Dark in the sense of no light. So that's the future. It's going to be a cold and dark place.
That was Ofer Lahav and Peter Dole speaking with Karine Pickema.
I shouldn't have been such a grouch about their plans to discover the source of dark energy. Now that I've heard about the instrumentation, it sounds like a great experimental project. You can learn a lot by listening to this podcast.
Well, Corinne certainly learned a lot more than that. After the interview, they took her to see parts of the telescope and also the skeleton of the philosopher Jeremy Bentham that they keep down in the basement at UCL.
The skeleton of Jeremy Bentham? These podcast scripts are getting more and more ridiculous. Is this a joke or a pitch for a horror movie?
Neither. It's true. On the podcast page,
www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.
I'm going to put a link to a picture of Bentham's skeleton. He's been dressed up and he's wearing a wax head too.
That's like psycho.
You'll also find more information about the Dark Energy Survey too.
Who cares? Let's talk more about the skeleton.